Joining me in the studio is Jamie Hanks, Executive Director of the West Baton Rouge Chamber of Commerce. And Jamie is a very accomplished young woman. She's held this position since 2015. Before that, she was a staffer with the Louisiana Division of Administration. And before that, a communications director for then Congressman Rodney Alexander. And Jamie's also been honored as one of our 40 under 40 in the Baton Rouge Business Report. So, Jamie, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Stephanie, and especially for that kind introduction.
I know you were away on a very busy, impressive conference all last week, and now this is a holiday and you're here with us in the studio. But, you know, I've been so interested in what happens now that this gasoline tax has failed. This was a huge push. Of course, the West Baton Rouge Chamber, your membership, was very instrumental in the industry-led groups like Crisis and then the statewide coalition Build It.
We were actually one of the first chambers to sign on to the Build It group.
And this is because your members feel the effects of the transportation infrastructure crisis more than almost anybody.
Absolutely. It is crushing both to our economic development efforts. Where do we go from here? We recently had the road maintenance backlog affected us, particularly with the problems we experienced on the Intercoastal Bridge, where it literally brought our region to a halt for a good month. And just saying that, we are our main artery for hurricane evacuation route. For that bridge to become that just that much worries me in, again, the safety. I mean, how do you get that far?
Now, that bridge has since been repaired and has reopened to traffic.
It has.
But, you know, most people on this side of the river or in the outlying areas that don't travel to the west side were more than likely unaware of that situation unless they read about it on the Daily Report or in the Advocate. Like, and it was crippling to you guys over there.
It was crippling, and even more mind-boggling to me is I believe DOTD was aware of the situation on Tuesday. The press release was not issued until Thursday at 4:40 p.m. So for us to be able to get out the word to our businesses who were going to be affected by this closure, or not closure, but reduced weight limit, we weren't able to get the message out. So it made it that much worse.
Wow. And that's just one example that hit very close to home. Of course, the bridge over the river is a nightmare every day. Sort of nightmare.
And just coming from a regional perspective, we have to look at that purely from where we're physically located. Iberville, West Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge, we have to look at that from a regional perspective and also work together of finding some short-term solutions that we can implement right now, because we're not going to improve the situation. Let's strive to keep status quo until perhaps we're able to try again with the gasoline tax increase.
I want to talk about the gasoline tax. If you have a question for Jamie Hanks, the number's 297-5633 in the Baton Rouge area, or 1-877-217-5757 if you're outside the area. So this gasoline tax came about after CRISIS, which stands for what? Capital Region
Infrastructure Solutions.
Something like that. But this was an industry-led group that really spent a couple of years doing research, coming up with, you know, data-driven solutions. Which mega projects would deliver the most bang for the buck in terms of alleviating traffic? And this was very scientific.
I mean, it was.
There were numbers behind this, and I was a little bit cautiously optimistic that the business community from around the state united. And this gasoline tax, I mean, there were a couple of different proposals on the table. At any point during the session, did it look possible to y'all that this might really pass?
I will say this. The crisis group, prior to forming the Build It, started the necessary legwork, going around the state, meeting with the different economic development organizations, asking for buy-in. So people said we might have started the statewide coalition too late. I don't believe that to be true at all. And different legislators who we were meeting with kept asking, we need business and industry to back us up on this.
Did they not?
As much as we could. I've never seen this much business and industry get behind a coalition of this sort supporting this next necessary tax increase for our state, especially for this region. I think we're top in the state, probably next to Lake Charles, who really needs this added financial support to address, first of all, the backlog and then the mega projects that are needed.
Mm-hmm. And in this area, the bridge was number one on the list.
Bridge, absolutely.
And then I think, what, widening of I-10?
Widening of I-10, and that stands, again, looking at it from a regional approach, it will help us all.
Well, the whole thing is regional, really. I mean, and people don't realize that. So what happened with the tax? I mean, I know this group, Americans for Prosperity, went all out. To them, all taxes are equal and all taxes are bad. And I don't know how they intend to fund government in any sort of way. Because certainly if business can't get across the bridge and they can't, you know, set up refineries here, they'll go to Texas. And then we won't have any private industry. So, I mean, I'd love to get into it with Americans for Prosperity, but that's a different subject. They campaigned hard against this. I know some small businesses were also against it. In fact, initially the NFIB came out against it, and then they sort of tempered their opposition. But
they did. NFIB, I adore Dawn Starrs and the work that she does. I think her membership was in opposition, and therefore she has to take that position on it. Again, I think in Louisiana that legislative term limits are still relatively new, and scorecards matter at the end of the day when you're campaigning for reelection or even looking at the next position or role that you want to take in government. Scorecards do matter, unfortunately. It's the nature of the beast.
Even if it was for a gasoline tax at a time when gasoline is at a historically low price, right? And we have federal matching funds on the table that we stand to lose, and we're at a crisis situation that's going to get worse. But even in their minds, a vote for that gasoline tax would have been a potential liability that could cost them an election down the line.
And also, we haven't even increased the gasoline tax in almost 30 years.
Yeah.
30 years.
Right.
So that's money we've left on the table.
Now, let's talk about this federal matching money, because I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize. How much, roughly, is at stake?
I know it was a number larger than I ever expected our state receiving, and it has to also be in our state plan that for our region, Jamie Setz is in charge of putting together. And for our area, it was the closure of the Washington Avenue exit.
Right.
I believe the number for our state was around $80 million. Please don't quote me on that. I need to look it
up.
But
somewhere in that range. That's
yes.
A tremendous amount of money to get. And then so we would have had to put up half of that, in other words?
Right now, I believe it was an 80-20 split.
So
however, if Trump, President Trump's trillion-dollar infrastructure plan comes to fruition, that matching number will automatically go up. I'm hearing as much as a 50-50 split.
But still, we don't get it unless we come up with it.
Absolutely, and therefore we're called, quote-unquote, a donor state, where states who do have the match will automatically get our money.
God, that's painful to hear.
It's money on the table that we stand to lose.
And this was money that our congressional delegation, Garrett Graves and
Senator Cassidy
worked hard to get for us just last year.
Yes. They were hugely instrumental in fighting for this funding.
Wow. And I think maybe, I don't know, was the message not communicated effectively enough? I mean, I saw Americans for Prosperity bombarded the internet and TV with their commercials. Did the other side take out that sort of a media buy?
It's something, the federal dollars, I don't think, in my opinion, have not been communicated. It hasn't been as much on the table as our $13 billion shortfall in the road maintenance program. But as soon as the gas tax essentially was pulled from the House floor, the next day I picked up, where do we go from here? We're about to lose this funding now. And it's something I really believe Louisiana whole needs to take a stronger look at, and again, this is money on the table that we stand to lose.
Any idea how much time we have?
I do not know that.
Yeah.
I can find out further, but
so we're not going to lose it overnight. We might have a little bit of time.
And it's a question I've been asking, and some people are cautiously optimistic that the governor would pull it from the state general fund.
But there's no money. he vetoed a new clinic for Medicaid patients that Our Lady of the Lake, the partner hospital for the state, was trying to build on Florida Boulevard. So where are they going to get money for a new bridge?
I know. I said cautiously optimistic.
Fiddling while Rome burns. And with me is Jamie Hanks, Executive Director of the West Baton Rouge Chamber of Commerce. We've been talking about the crisis with our state's transportation infrastructure, which now has really no hope of getting solved since the legislature earlier this summer failed to pass a gasoline tax. I mean, that's my assumption. Jamie, are there other ideas out there floating around that, potentially could you know, generate revenues to get some of these mega projects that we really need a jump started within our lifetimes?
Crisis has done a great job of next steps for our region. What we have to maintain is status quo at this point. We cannot allow this problem to escalate any further. So we are now having initial conversations to kind of think out of the box for short-term, cost-efficient solutions. For our parish and other parishes on the west side of the river, I think one of the easiest go-to solutions, and I'm not saying easiest, but one for the conversation to perhaps be had, is for additional ferry services to and from Baton Rouge or Iverville Parish to where our plants are located on the west side. And also conversations are centering around park and go. A ferry can hold, I believe, 35 cars, but it can also hold 300 individuals if the cars are removed. But that brings about more details where we need to kind of get in the weeds with who takes on the liability of transporting these workers to and from the plants. Is it a parish issue? Is it a plant issue? I mean, who's going to pay for that? We do not have public transportation in West Baton Rouge. So
fascinating. Okay. Yes. I want to follow up with you on that because I don't know very much about ferry service, and perhaps you can enlighten us. But I want to take a call from Ray from Prairieville, who has a question for you. Ray, you are on the line with Jamie. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call, Stephanie. A question I had for Jamie was, can she or would she develop some actual statistics of how much we pay ourselves when we're stuck in traffic jams just to save 25 cents or 17 cents a gallon? I really figure that we're paying ourselves, if we're on I-10 coming to work, we're probably paying ourselves about 15 to 25 cents an hour just to save money on taxes. And that might be a good thing to push the tax increase. I'll take my answer off the air, by the way. Yeah.
Thanks, Ray. And that's a good point. Again, that gets to the messaging, that I think if that message could have been hammered home more effectively. Do you have, I know crisis was very heavy with data. Do y'all have those statistics?
We do, and I believe it costs a driver on the road individually $695 per year.
Wow.
Yes. So it costs more for us to do nothing, essentially.
And people, $690 a year per person, roughly, something like, we'll just round up to 700, how about? Or even round down to 650. But a gasoline tax would have been 17 cents per gallon additional.
Yes. Again, costs more for us to do nothing.
Wow. Well, any idea, I mean, how expensive is additional ferry service?
Again, this is initial conversations for us to take back and have with our parish government, our large employers, you name it. When we looked at the initial fallback options, to me that stood out in my mind as maybe one of the best approaches for us to get cars off the roadway. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it is necessarily going to go forward by any means, but for our parish it did make sense. But again, when you delve deeper into it, it's a liability issue, and we again need to have further conversations regarding that.
Okay. But that's something that the locals could maybe pay for without much state investment at the DOTD level, right? Okay. What else is on crisis's backup plan list?
increased technology where you can get alerts from DOTD. And I use this when I'm in East Baton Rouge, but West Baton Rouge, we don't have as much knowledge regarding it. But you get those pushed through, you know where the traffic jams are. You can take additional routes, or you can maybe go into the grocery store and not get on the road at that time, stuff of that nature. Also, we were looking at staggering shift times.
I have heard of that, yeah.
But then you kind of get into family life where people love knowing I'm going to be at work from this hour to this hour. I can make my children's baseball game at the end of the day, and, you know, you don't worry about that. We're not, in my opinion, evolved enough to be separated from our cars.
Came back from Chicago, and they're so evolved public transportation, bike share on every corner.
We actually brought up Chicago and these conversations with the crisis group. But yeah, I mean, I've lived in D.C. I don't know what I would have done without public transportation. I didn't mean to say evolved enough, but
well,
but with the park and go, that's also another issue. Being separated from our cars, if our children have an emergency at school, knowing that you're going to be able to get there. So I think if we do go the park and go route, we would have to also have increased ferry services where they run longer.
What I think these are all, I mean, and then maybe they'd have some sort of minimal impact in a positive way, but everybody wants to see a new bridge. And that's really where the conversations are focused as far as infrastructure projects are concerned. Is there any talk of having local government and big industry team up to fund a bridge?
That initial conversation did not happen. Again, first steps going forward. I think we are going to have to look at that. People do not have trust in our state government any longer. Even with Representative Carter's bill, which I thought was written impeccably, closing the loophole to transportation trust fund and how those dollars are allocated, there's just not trust. And so I think we are going to have to eventually look at both local and federal funding and not rely so much on our state government. We will have to have some buy-in from our larger industries. This is a communication, luckily, in West Baton Rouge. We have everyone already at the table. So,
well, I want to get another call in, and before I let you go, Joe on Burbank has a question. Joe, you're on with Jamie Hanks. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I'm all for getting private side to pay some more, but the problem is really a partial group of the legislators who apparently just don't think we have to pay for anything. They blocked this. They wanted to leave $200 million on the table in this budget in case we had a crisis as some kind of. So apparently this didn't qualify. You know, it's really ridiculous. It's a small number of them, and they tar the whole state government, and they did a lot of damage.
Well, Joe is preaching to the choir here in this little studio. Jamie and I are right with you there, Joe.
In West Baton Rouge, I was incredibly fortunate to have two of our representatives extremely active in this issue. So I have to thank Representative Major Tebow as well as Representative Edmund Jordan, who were extremely active on the phone all the time with our parish president, myself, our industry on the west side of the river, and we're huge advocates for this issue. So I do
even like anti-tax conservatives from the Capital region, I think, were on board with this because they feel it here. But obviously, the opposition was coming from other parts of the state, and Joe says they were a small group, but they were small and they were a big enough group to be able to convince. You know,
I don't want to get myself in a sticky situation, but even if you look at the list of members who joined on to the Build It group, take a look at that.
Okay, because that would show us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, Jamie, we're about out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, this is something that isn't going away and that we will be following closely over the next many years. And I guess what many people probably do realize, but that even if we got the money tomorrow, it would be years before the bridge would actually be built.
That and something I just want to put out there prior is economic development is now being hindered. And when is more jobs a bad thing?
I know. Well, in a world where reason no longer matters, perhaps. Stay right there. Joining us for the next hour, Rachel Hebert.